soldier boys are marching, and I can no longer stay. Hark, I hear the bugle calling, goodbye, Dolly Gray. Hear the rolling of the drum, Dolly Gray. Back from war the regiment comes, Dolly Gray. On your lovely face so fair, I can see a look of care, for your soldier boy is not there, Dolly Gray. Oh, the one you loved so well, Dolly Gray, in the midst of battle fell, Dolly Gray. With his face towards the foe, as he died, he murmured low, I must say goodbye and go, Dolly Gray. Goodbye, Dolly, I must leave you, though it breaks my heart to go. Something tells me I am needed at the front to fight the foe. See, the soldier boys are marching, and I can no longer stay. Hark, I hear the bugle calling, goodbye, Dolly Gray. Hark, I hear the bugle calling, goodbye, Dolly Gray. Thank you very much.
Good morning. It's 7:02. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. That was Linda Thompson from a show that was done back in 2009, and the album saw the light of day. It's called Linda Thompson Presents My Mother Doesn't Know I'm on the Stage, and it is a classic and music hall review. And that was Linda Thompson herself singing on Goodbye, Dolly Gray. It's 7:03. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. This is where we segue between Celtic Dawn to Between the Worlds, the best of Earth Religions Radio. But it's been over just a little bit under a month since I've been back on the air, because I got knocked by that flu bug, or the cold, as some people have called it, that's been going around. And I didn't have any voice, which makes it tough to do radio, especially if you're trying to announce things. So what we're going to hear is, I had just gotten Dave the Bard's new album. He's covering the four branches of the Mabinogi. And for those not in the know, the Mabinogi is a compilation of Welsh legends, primarily drawn from two books that were kept by prominent Welsh families, and they were combined at one point for anyone who's familiar with Evangeline Walton's material from the turn of the 20th century. All her books were based on the four branches of the Mabinogi. So this is Dave the Bard's latest album, and it covers the second branch of the Mabinogi, which tells the tale of Vran and Vranwen. And there is no doubt that Vran is a god. He's able to stride across the channel between Wales and Ireland. And it's one of the shorter tales that's collected in the Mabinogi, but there's no doubt about what's going on here. Vran and Vranwen are brother and sister. Vranwen winds up being pledged in marriage to an Irish king who's not exactly the most wonderful of husbands, and Vran is not pleased. And for anybody who wonders why the wings of the ravens are clipped at the Tower of London so they can't fly away, well, this tale will tell you why. And we're going to continue to hear this. I'm replaying the Lake of the Cauldron, and then we'll hear two other pieces from the first of these two CDs by Dave.
We began our journey to Harlech, carrying the head of Bran. Not long after, we met a group of men and women, and we asked if they had any news. The news was not good. Not good at all. Caswallon, the son of Beli, had overrun the Island of the Mighty, and he was now the crowned king in London. He had attacked, and six of Caradoc's men had been killed. However, the story being told was that they had been attacked by a magical sword. No wielder could be seen, just the sword, hacking and slashing, and the blood. Caradoc's heart broke at the death of his men, and in the triads of the island of Britain, he will always be remembered as one of the three people who broke their hearts from sorrow. We were also told that my foster father, Pendar and David, had escaped, but he had been driven mad at the death and destruction around him and of the news from Ireland. He had fled to the forest, just as Myrddin would do some years later, after the Battle of Ardderidh. The sword had been in the hands of Caswallon, who was wearing a magical cloak. He had not wished to kill Caradoc, who was, after all, his nephew and cousin's son. No, the news was not good, not good at all. We travelled to the court of Harlech, and when we arrived, we were regaled with the best food and drink. As soon as we began the feast, three birds came. We had to gaze far out to sea to catch sight of them. Yet their song was clear and true, as if they were in the court with us. Their song was the most beautiful sound we had ever heard. All other birdsong was harsh when compared to theirs. The peak of each wave on the ocean stood white in the sunlight, as if a million white horses galloped towards the shore. And then I knew these were my mother's birds. The birds of Rhiannon had arrived. just like falling sand from my open hands. I let it fall. Then on the wing, three birds begin to sing. Make us strong. After 7 years had passed, we set out to Gwales in Pembrokeshire. There, high above the sea, we saw a magnificent hall with three doors. Two of the doors stood open, but the third door was closed, the one facing Cornwall. Manawydan pointed towards the door. There it is, the door we must not open. Time moves more slowly in the other world. What feels like just a day there can be a century in our world. Even more. Some have travelled to the other world to spend what just feels like a short time there. But on their return, all of those they knew, their loved ones, friends and family, had died of old age, and their names were only remembered from some distant ancient story. We spent 80 years in that hall in Gwales, and at no time did we feel any loss or grief from anything we had lived through during that bloody battle in Ireland. Bran's head was as good company as if it was upon his body. We had the best food and drink, and we smiled, laughed, and passed the time in good conversation and friendship with each other. Because of those 80 years, this was called the Assembly of the Noble Head. However, one day, Hailin, son of Gwyn, said, "Shame on my beard unless I open this door. I need to know now if what we were told is true." He opened the door and gazed out towards Cornwall and Aberhenvelin. In that moment, every loss, every heartache, all of the memories of death and destruction came upon all of us. I had never known such deep and utter loss and despair as I knew in that second. And above it all was the loss of our High King Bran. His head had stopped talking, stopped moving. As soon as the door opened, so his spirit gave flight and went to join the feasting halls of his ancestors in Annwn. None of us could rest until we had arrived in London with Bran's head. Although the road was long and our suffering was great, we came at last to the White Mount of Gwynfryn. There we dug a deep hole and placed the giant head of Bendigeidvran into the earth, with his face gazing across the Channel Sea. In the triads of the island of Britain, this is known as one of the three fortunate concealments, for no oppression would ever come across the sea unless the head was removed from the White Mount. It was King Arthur who caused one of the three unfortunate disclosures of this island when he dug it up, feeling that only he must be Albion's protector. Although the head was removed, the raven, the spirit of Bran, still stays at the White Mount in London to this day. Thank you.
cœur avocat des cantines, mes vigés s'abattent. Devant la guerre et d'our de Fontenay à Salec. Er Fontenay à Pell, on dura à Strafulle, quand ma ventu gentil aura berigé sec. Ayant roule d'Iganin, la rigueur ouiseau d'Imeyette. Hazer volonek e no la casa ronon da celeru sa stera Pesavi se ronde me diare wa jaget me halon lampe a me horfe wa brevet a me a songe ne se petra me sa mancolet
Tur av de meier Der har valer Jovang Og tristende sønna om det Bøvann og tånd og vann Dreier så bra Splåret Med jeg gled i seg leier Og sen i vidt med øret Med jeg gled i seg leier Og sen i vidt med øret
We used to write letters to each other a lot. And it was intimidating to talk to him sometimes because he just seemed so isolated by himself.
She started talking about how she wishes that her life was over and she wishes that she was never born.
So I knew he had depression, but I didn't know it was that far.
Said something to me about killing himself.
Tell somebody, tell an adult, a counselor, parent, whatever.
It's a hard situation because you do risk making that person very angry and losing their friendship.
It would have been horrible for me if she never talked to me again, but I'd live with it because I know she'd be alive.
Definitely worth getting help, even if you think you're going to lose a friendship, because it's better to lose the friendship than the actual friend.
Suicide is one of the leading causes of death among teens. For more information, contact the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, 888-333-AFSP, or online at afsp.org.
Good morning. It's 7:33. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. And just in case you don't understand this, the front page of the Boston Herald, after showing the Pats conquering the Chargers and get to play for the AFC Championship, the bottom is a special report on the 9th anniversary of Phoebe Prince's suicide. The anti-bullying law is failing our kids. And this was just over the news that was released about the Lawrence teen who died from bullying. It can't be said too often, but really, the problems with social media and tweets is that people have forgotten manners, how to be civil to each other, how to be kind, and really feel that somehow somehow it's all right to pick on people. It's all right to see a family that lives in an isolated area of northern Wisconsin and you've never had any contact with these people. Let's go in and murder the parents and take the daughter. So I really don't understand. I don't understand a lot, and I don't think anyone does, because I read a piece yesterday in the Boston Herald about Representative King belies Republican Party principles. And I'll just read you the first and last paragraph of this article. As a percentage of its population, Iowa sent more troops to fight in the Civil War than any other state. Iowans fought on the side of the Union against the Confederate South. Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States and the Commander-in-Chief of Union Forces, was the first Republican president. That last statement is definitely true. Whether all Iowans chose to fight on the side of the North or stay neutral or in some cases volunteer for the South can probably be looked up and proved to be the case very shortly. But what his whole point about this article is, the second paragraph, so it seems odd, And then in parentheses, to me at least, that a Republican congressman from Iowa would display a Confederate flag on his desk. But that's what Representative Steve King did as recently as 2016. And then he has another parenthetical phrase. He removed it only after it was revealed that a cop killer had waved a Confederate flag at an Iowa high school football game. Well, at least he removed it in 2016. Then, but that didn't really change his thinking. In an interview with the New York Times published Thursday, King asked, "White nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive? Why did I sit in classes teaching me about the merits of our history and our civilization?" And that last is a direct quote. And the obvious answer, says this columnist Jonah Goldberg, is because he needed an education and still does. Then this whole rest of the column goes on to say that white didn't have the same meaning throughout the history of our country. And as recently as 1911, the Joint Congressional Immigration Commission completed a 41-volume report that included the Dictionary of Races or Peoples, a pseudoscientific grab bag containing, quote, "a motley compendium of ethnic stereotypes, skin complexion, head shape, and other hardy perennials of the race science literature," according to Princeton historian Thomas Leonard. And what Jonah Goldberg calls his vital book, Illiberal Reformers. But the thing is you don't have to even look that far back. All you have to do is take a look at how Japanese Americans were treated on the West Coast, areas in World War II, and how reparations were never actually paid to them until the Reagan presidency in the 1980s. And where were they transferred to? Camps out in the middle of the desert, which when I was living on the Arizona-California line in the 1960s were still very much present. And so you either had the wonderful deserts of Yuma, or in the case of California, the infamous Manzanar camp, which the Spanish name means apple tree, but this was in the high north country of California, almost into the Sierras. People were expected to grow their own food and feed themselves. All right, it's 7:41. We need to let you know what you heard. That was Simone Alves and Jan Gorville with Seul Astard, or Look at the Stars. This was an album that I know almost nothing about. I was able to obtain it on Amazon, who, according to the less than wonderful thing, were the ones who actually produced the CD, though it comes under the name of Karga Prod. And it's two people, and this is Astrakhan Project B. Before that, we heard From a compilation album called Two Niles to Sing a Melody, The Violins and Scents of Sudan. And we heard Alberito Ana, which means The One I Love, performed by Imad Youssef. And we started off with Dave the Bard. For those folks not familiar with Dave, he's a part of the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids over across the pond in the United Kingdom, makes his home in the south of England. And that was Dave's album for the second branch of the Mabinogi, a set of Welsh legends. And before I go any further, let me get in our calendrical information for the week from the Perpetual Almanac of Folklore by Charles Kightley. And I'll just, this book was published back in 1987, but I love the foreword because it starts off with a biblical quote from Ecclesiastes: to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And then there is a second quote from the Christian Almanac of 1612, who goes, "Who is there that maketh not great account of his almanac, to observe both days, times, and seasons, to follow his affairs for his best profit and use?" An almanac was literally indispensable to the people of Elizabethan, Stuart, and early Georgian Britain. It first of all provided them with a calendar showing not only the dates of saints' days and other festivals, but also the waxing and waning of the moon and the seasonal rotation of the heavenly bodies through the successive astrological houses. These were matters of great moment, since a sensible farmer would no more think of picking apples before St. Swithin's Day than he would plant corn or slaughter beasts when the moon was declining, lest the crops and the meat shrank with her. Nor would he cut his weeds or his hair when she, that is the moon, was waxing, and when they would grow again with renewed vigor. Neither would anyone in their right mind marry or begin an important enterprise when the stars in their courses were set against them, or on any of the traditionally unlucky days laid down by their almanac. Anything started on the notoriously ill-omened 28th of December, for example, was bound to fail disastrously, and the very day of the week on which that dismal commemoration of the massacre of the innocents fell was to be treated with caution throughout the succeeding year, while any misguided invalid who embarked on, quote, "a course of physic," end quote, during the star-crossed dog days of July and August was virtually committing suicide. All righty then. We have passed Plow Monday. Today is January the 14th. And it notes very cold weather, usual at this season. Why, yes, it is. January 15th, take good care of hounds in hard weather. Beware of ice skating. It is estimated that no less than a dozen persons have lost their lives in this last week by unadvisedly skating upon thin ice, which broke and drowned them. This was published from the York Current, 15th of January, 1748. When I was much younger and living in New York State, just below West Point, there was always somebody who tried to cross the Hudson inadvisedly when it looked like it was frozen, and not realizing where the springs were, would fall through and drown. And boy, do you drown really quickly. January the 16th, greet the first new moon of the new year when it appears. And by the first new moon of the new year, what they meant was after Epiphany, which was the end of the traditional 12 days of Christmas, was Three Kings Day. And here in the States, at least here in Massachusetts and Arlington, where I live, they also collected the Christmas trees last week. Yes, that was your clue to get them out. So, January 16th, greet the first new moon of the new year when it appears. At the first appearance of the new moon after New Year's Day, go out in the evening and stand astride the bars of a gate or stile. In Yorkshire, they kneel on a ground fast stone, looking on the moon, and say, "All hail to the moon, all hail to thee. I prithee, good moon, reveal to me this night who my husband or wife must be." Yes, a lot of the omens have to do with seeking a suitable mate. January the 17th was Twelfth Night, Old Style. This was the appropriate time to wassail your apple trees, to encourage them to bear a good crop in the coming year. In the apple-growing areas of southern and western England, festive parties assembled in orchards by night to sing to the trees, drink their health, and pour buckets of hot cider over their roots. Cider-soaked toast was then left in the branches for the guardian birds, and finally a great howl was raised while guns were fired into the air to frighten away evil spirits. January the 18th was Old Twelfth Day. Lambing is well underway in most lowland areas. Yes. This is the true celebration of Imolc, or Oi milk, which means, that one definitely means ewe milk. Lambing would start about now, unless it was truly cold, and farmers who raised a good number of sheep were out all night attending to difficult births. In some cases, the lambs and the ewes were both lost on breech birth. January the 19th, days now growing noticeably longer. As the days lengthen, so the cold strengthens. Yes, because even though the light is returning, winter still has us in its grip. And as I mentioned, we are supposed to be getting snow finally this coming weekend. January the 20th, the eve of St. Agnes's Day, a time for lovers' divinations. The historical St. Agnes, was a 13-year-old Christian maiden who chose martyrdom rather than marriage to a pagan Roman officer. She is therefore the patroness of young girls and of bodily chastity, but is nevertheless popular with lovers. January the 21st was St. Agnes's Day. The sun enters the house of Aquarius. And just quickly, January the 22nd is St. Vincent's Day. Observe the weather and the legs, which are ruled by Aquarius. January the 23rd is, this is when you would plant quickset hedges. January the 24th, keep good watchdogs about you these dark nights. And we come to January the 25th, the feast of the conversion of St. Paul and Burns Night. Yes, for everyone who loves haggis, this is it. Back to music, and we're going to hear a few things from a wonderful track of Gullah music.
If I don't hang you, I'll give you 99. I'll give you 99, boy. I'll give you 99. Said if I don't hang you, I'll give you 99. So sink 'em low, boy. Sink 'em low. Sink 'em low, boy. Raise 'em high. I asked my captain what time of day it was. Said he's so hard-hearted, he just walked away. I asked that captain, said, morning come, boy. Said it makes no difference. I don't owe you none. I don't owe you none, boy. I don't owe you none. Said it makes no difference. I don't owe.